It's good to be in God's house with God's people. Amen? So glad that you joined us this morning. I introduced myself to a few of you guys last week, and if you weren't here last week, I'm Pastor Jeff Hatcher, and I believe I am still the pastor here, I'm pretty sure, but it's good to haven't been notified otherwise, so I'm going to keep preaching until somebody tells me to stop. How's that? Glad that you are here. We, as Jared's already said, this is a joyful occasion on many, many fronts. We get to come together and worship together, but we're going to have the privilege of baptizing two young ladies this morning, and that's exciting, exciting stuff. The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner comes to repentance. And if they're rejoicing, we ought to be rejoicing, right? So glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us this morning, I try to get around and meet the people that are new, and sometimes I miss you. I try to get around and catch everybody, and sometimes I forget your name. Please forgive me. Show me some grace on that. I try really hard to catch names, but sometimes I just forget. And it's not because I don't care, and it's not because the people of this church don't care. So I want you to understand that. We work pretty hard at trying to get to know one another. One of the ways we do that is there's a blue card in the seat in front of you. And you can fill that out and let us know who you are. If you would like to be on our email list, there's a place you can check on that. And you can just leave that in the seat there when you leave today. We don't force you to do that, but we sure like to know who you are and that you've been here. Along those lines, probably in September, I've got to set the date, but I'm going to have another one of my discovery classes where I talk about some specific things about our church and what makes us Wiley Methodist Church, what we're about, what our heart is about. And a lot of your questions can be answered about our church at that time. So I'll be getting word out about that. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 20, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that men, and when we say men, we're talking mankind, people, are without excuse. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you've already been invited, and I know that you are here with us. We need you. We need you. Come and speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Most Sundays, we did it this morning, we recite the Apostles' Creed, and we that's known as the affirmation of faith. We are affirming our faith. There are several different creeds that historically the church has recognized and recited. The affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, is one that we use quite often, and we'll get more into that in a minute. But every once in a while, I haven't done it in quite some time. I may not have done it since this happened, but a few years ago, there was a gentleman that came into our church, and he was either homeless or he was very close to homeless, and no one knew him. And he came in, and I believe he actually rode a bike up to our church and came in, and he was received, and Jared, not to embarrass Jared, but Jared was trying to be the good Christian guy, and he sat with this man, and we were just getting to know him a little bit and everything. And one of the things I did that morning, sometimes I'd like to do this, where I say, hey, why don't we state our own affirmation of faith this morning? Instead of reciting the historical creeds of the church, what do we believe? And so just shout it out. And there were some people that said, you know, God is love. God is merciful. He's given us abundant life. And there's several things kind of popcorning around the church. And then this gentleman that no one knew stood up and he launched in to this, I don't know if he was intoxicated or if he was, had some mental illness or whatever. He launched into this deal. I mean, how many of you were here that Sunday morning? He was sitting right back there in front of the sound booth. And it was, you know, Saturn's in line with Jupiter and all the, you know, and, the, you know, people on this planet and that. I mean, he's going all over the place. And I'm standing here in my, and being really trying to be cool, calm, and collected. But inside, I'm, what do I do now? And he just keeps talking. He will not stop. He just keeps talking. And he went on several minutes. If you were here, am I lying? Carlene said you don't lie this morning, so I'm not lying. He just went on several minutes, and I was, didn't want to be rude, but this was kind of some crazy stuff he was saying. And so he, at one moment, he took, he, I think he just went, and I went, let's pray. I'm not sure I've done that since then. Because when you open up the floor, you open up the floor. We are starting a sermon series today called These Things We Believe. These Things We Believe. Today is message is called Creator God. Now, as I said earlier, we say the Apostles' Creed many times. The Apostles' Creed is a statement of belief that, and I can't give you the entire history of it quickly, but kind of a Reader's Digest is, we're not certain the origin, but it seems to, in the early church, like some people even believe it goes back to the first apostles, at least pieces of this teaching. And the creed was developed to align the believers and say, this is the truth. You know, there's all sorts of things being said out here and all sorts of heresies that are happening. And we want to put this, as the church leaders, we want to put this creed together. And this is what we saw, this is what we believe, and this is what binds us together. And so this creed, in the early centuries, this creed was developed. And we're going to start this morning looking at that creed. We're going to start with the first line that we said just a few minutes ago. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, creed. I kind of did a little looking into that word creed. And basically, a creed means a fundamental core belief that guides one's actions. That the fundamental core beliefs that guides one's actions. Now, I was looking, I kind of Googled different creeds. Not just Christian creeds, but creeds. How many of you, we've got, you know, being in Abilene, Texas, Dyess Air Force Base. How many of you either are in the Air Force or have been in the Air Force? Raise your hand. I'm not going to do anything, you know, to embarrass you or anything. But the Air Force has an Airman's Creed. How many of you had to learn that to get into the Air Force? And everybody's like, yeah, what's he going to do here? Is anybody brave enough to, does anybody know the creed by heart? Boy, there's a lot of people sitting on their hands. I'm calling the base commander tomorrow and telling on you guys. I want to just read it right quick. This, as you join the Air Force, from what I read, you have to learn this creed, and you have to know this creed, the Airman's Creed. I am an American airman. I'm a warrior. I have answered my nation's call. I am an American airman. My mission is to fly, fight, and win. I am faithful to a proud heritage, a tradition of honor, and a legacy of valor. I am an American airman, guardian of freedom and justice, my nation's sword and shield, its sentry and avenger. I defend my country with my life. I am an American airman, wingman, leader, warrior. I will never leave an airman behind. I will never falter, and I will not fail. Anybody remember that? Air Force guys, girls? Y'all had to learn that? It's this creed that gives focus and purpose to being in the United States Air Force. So as we come together as Christians and we recite this creed, I know if you've come from different backgrounds, perhaps different denominations that maybe didn't say the creed growing up. There's nothing in the Bible that mandates us to say the creed, but there is this historical creed that has been said and recited. Think about that for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. It has come, brought us together and united us. So I want us to just kind of slow down and dig a little bit deeper into this creed. The first thing that I want us to look at in this first sentence is, by faith, we believe God is the creator of all things. God is the creator. Now, I'm going to hit it real fast. Most of us kind of read the Genesis creation account before. I'm just going to hit a few little verses here, but I want us to kind of get a feel for some of this. Again, you know, by the way, side note, if you're wanting to get into the Word of God, my recommendation is, well, you don't read God's Word like a book, typically, unless you're, you know, you've been around the Bible quite a bit and want to go through it from cover to cover. That's one thing. But if you're new to the Bible, I don't recommend starting with Genesis 1 and trying to read through it like a book, because you'll go for a while and it'll be awesome, and then you'll get into the He begat and so on and so forth, and you'll lose interest. I would recommend you start in the Gospels, but not to discount the Old Testament, but I just don't think we read it like a book. But the creation account, let's just look at Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. I want to stop there for a second. God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, didn't we just invite the Holy Spirit? It almost sounds like the Holy Spirit was there at creation. That's just me. I don't know. That's what it looks like. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Did you know that when God says it, it happens? God doesn't have to, you know, He doesn't say it and then kind of the things of the universe have to be in alignment and have to think about whether I'm going to. God says it happens. And not just with the creation of the world, but with you and I. If God says it, He's going to back it up, and it's going to happen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated it, and He called it day and night, and so on and so forth. Then that was the first day, and He said, "It's good. What I've done here today is good." Then the second day, He separated water from the sky, and He said, "It's good." And the third day, water from the dry ground, and He created all the vegetation of the earth, and He said, "It's good." Day four, He separated the night from the day, and He put through the stars and the sun and the moon and the sky. And He said, "It's good." And the fifth day, God created the creatures of the sea and the sky and the land. And He said, "It is good." And that moves us to the second point. By faith, we believe we are God's masterpiece, created in His image. Now, I want to look at, well, let's look at the day six. Then God said, so He's created all this. Now, notice He's created every living thing on the earth except for mankind. When I say man, understand, ladies, we're speaking of mankind, okay? This is not it's not just a guy thing. It's mankind, humans, us. Then God said, "Let us," plural. We'll stop there for a second. Hello, are you listening? "Let us." Well, wait a minute. Is He talking about the birds and the animals that they're going to do some more creating? "Let us," plural. It almost sounds like the Trinity, doesn't it? It almost sounds like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Something's going on right here. "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness," there's that plurality again, "our, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air," and so on and so forth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, there it is. He created them. Then God blessed them. He said, "Be fruitful, increase in number." And then God saw that everything that He had done, it was very good. You see, I find this so interesting, and it's a little later in Genesis that God created man from the dust. And then it says, God breathed life into us. Did you see Him breathing life into the fish? Did you see Him breathing life? I mean, He created, But it never says that they were created in His image. It never says that He Himself breathed life into the other pieces of His creation. But man, somehow, we stood out. We stood out. He breathed life into us. He created us in His image. And then He said, hey, you know what? This isn't just good. This is very good. You. Now, some of you, as I'm saying this, are going to say, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. But you are created in the image of God. However you're conducting yourself, that's a separate matter. However you've conducted yourself in the past, whatever things have happened to you in your past, you are created in the image of God. And He has breathed life into you. You have been created in His image. Ephesians 2 says it this way, we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. We are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. Now, Cheryl and I wish I'd have brought a picture of it because you've seen pictures of Niagara Falls before, but we just spent a couple of days in Niagara at the falls a month or two ago, I guess 6 weeks or so ago. And, man, there was this one place. How many of you been to Niagara Falls? You been on the Canada side? There's a place, what's that place called down at the base there? What was that place called? Huh? Behind the falls, behind the falls. But get a ticket, you get to go down to the base where the falls are. I mean, you're literally 10 feet from where the water's hitting. And it is just, I don't know how you see something like that and don't realize that God is a master craftsman. And did you know that Niagara Falls pales in comparison to you and I? In His eyes. I mean, he carved that out of the rock, and He created this beautiful place. And you could just feel the power as you're down there, this water that's rushing over the side, and it's just coming over, and I don't even remember, did they say millions of gallons a second or something? It's just like incredible what's coming over the falls, and you just, you're feeling the power, and you're seeing this, and it's like, God goes, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Have you seen what I've done with people? Have you seen what I've done with each of you? We are created as God's masterpiece, created in His image. Now, here's the problem. We see ourselves not through the eyes of God's, but so many times we see ourselves through our own internal eyes. You ever see somebody else and you think, man, that guy, that girl, they got it all together. Anybody ever seen somebody like that? Guess what? They're a mess. They're a mess just like you, just like me. Every single one of us, we're a mess. But we can sometimes see with different eyes, and we can see somebody else and go, man, they got it all going on. They got it together. No, they don't. No, they don't. We may be, walking out our faith stronger than others. I look at somebody like a Ken Collins. You know, what a godly man. And I talked about it at his service this week. What a godly man. What an example. But Ken was just like me. He is a mess. What, Joyce? Yes? We can't escape our brokenness, church. We can walk out our faith, but we can't escape our brokenness. And God loves us anyway. We're His masterpiece. You know, I like to work with my hands and do different things and don't do it as often as I would like to, as often as I should. But I like to create different things. I like to work with wood and stained glass and some different things like that. And yet, my stuff, the stuff I come up with, every once in a while I'm like, I turned out pretty good. But a lot of times it's going, hope nobody sees that crack. God doesn't do that. He's created a masterpiece in us. The problem is sin has corrupted us. Sin has corrupted us. But yet, we are still His masterpiece. Now listen to this. And these young ladies who are coming today to accept Christ and be baptized, this is what's happening, young ladies. This is what's happening for you today. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The brokenness, God no longer sees any of that brokenness. The old has gone. The new has come. God now sees us through the eyes, through the lens of Jesus. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's what the Bible says, that we are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So when he looks at you, he sees that original masterpiece that he has created. Now, whether you feel that or not doesn't make it so or not so. And then finally, by faith, we believe that not only are we created in his image and created as his masterpiece, but we are created with purpose. I talked about this some last week. We are created with purpose. And if I were to ask you, and this is a rhetorical question, you don't have to say anything, but if I were to ask you, you know, what's the purpose of life? Probably, and have you just write what you think on a piece of paper, there'd probably be all sorts of, to be good, to be happy. I'm telling you, the purpose of life is to bring glory to God. Yeah, yes, happy's good. Happy's good. I like being happy. I like it when things are going well. But that's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to bring God glory with our life. Everything we do in our relationships, in our marriages, with our children, with our parents, in the workplace, everything that we do, we should be giving glory to God. The way we conduct ourselves. We're created as his masterpiece in his image to bring him glory. Listen to Ephesians 2. I love this passage. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. There's a purpose. There's a purpose which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I use this verse often, but I think because it is so powerful in us how we should be walking out our faith. 2 Corinthians 5. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. He goes on to say, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. So he made Jesus, who had no sin, to be our sin, to take upon our sin. So here's the reason. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, God has created us in Christ Jesus to do good works so that we might become the righteousness of God, so that we might bring God glory. So how are we doing with that, church? How are we doing? Are we bringing God glory? Are we focused on the happy part? Stuff. I know nobody in this room. I certainly would never fall prey to that, pursuit of stuff, popularity, any of those kinds of things. Now we wouldn't do that. God wants us to be in pursuit of him, to bring him glory. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe that God is our creator. That we are created in his image and for his purposes. So how about you, church? When we recite that creed, it's not just some words that we felt like we got 2 minutes here that we need to fill this morning. So let's say the Apostles' Creed. We are reciting this ancient historical document of the church. There's a lot of thought went into developing that, by the way. When the early church developed that, they were trying, what unites us? What is the truth of God's word? What are the core fundamental beliefs that cause us that we want to walk out? So when we recite that faith, that creed, that's what's happening. I want you to, if you would, just listen to this song. I listened to it this weekend, and it gave me chills. I hope the Spirit moves in you through this. Go ahead and play that, Lee.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming.
Your heads with me. Father, we thank You that You are Creator God, that You have created us in Your image. You have breathed Your life into us. You have redeemed us by the blood of Jesus, and You have said it is very good. Thank You for the privilege of being Your creation and Your children, Your masterpiece. And Father, we believe in You. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this last song, and just I'd encourage you as We will be having the baptisms right after this last song, so I encourage you to hang around for that. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, boy, I just pray that you'll ask Him in. He's already said yes to you. He's just waiting for you to say yes to Him. So let's stand as we sing this song. You to come stand on this tall one right over here. All right. Let's let the kids come in. Got your own cheering squad there. This is Annalise Loudermilk, and she is she comes today to give her heart to Jesus. I think she's already given her heart to Jesus. She comes to make it official this morning. Can you face me for just a second? And then we've talked about those questions that we're going to ask you. And the first one is, we talked about that word sin, and just meaning that when we do things that are not pleasing to God, are you sorry that you're a sinner? Amen. Amen. She's shy, and so I'm hearing it, okay? And do you want to ask Jesus in your heart, Annalise? Amen. Amen. And do you want to be baptized in that faith? Amen. Okay. If you'll sit right down there. Dad's going to assist me here. If you'll hold your nose. Annalise, I baptize you. Just reach in there, John. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Just stay right there. A little late. Okay. Mom's dad. Where are you guys at? We got dad. You guys want to come up as we pray for her? Friends? Family? Pep squad? Whoever wants to come up. How's it feel down there, Annalise? Is it warm?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, you guys just scrunch in here. If y'all can reach in and put a hand on her shoulder or even on her head, whatever. And reach the person in front of you if you can. Father, I thank you that Annalise is your child, and you love her, and you died on a cross for her. I thank you that she has said yes to you. God, just fill her with your Holy Spirit from the top of her head to the tip of her toes, God. May she be empowered and equipped to live her life to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, there's a towel right over there. We have flowers for you. Those are for you, John. Awesome. All right. Lily Kate, you back there?
Yeah, she's coming. All right. Okay, ready? All right, there.
And you just stand right down there, Lily Kate. Family, the Doby family, you guys want to come up? Dad, do you want to come to us around here and assist me? Just circle all the way around outside in the foyer and come in that door. Huh? Not yet. I want them to be able to see you while you're answering your questions. Lily Kate brought her own cheering squad. They're like everywhere. What I want to know, girls, is where are y'all every Sunday? Huh? Oh, busted. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I thought. Okay. Lily Kate, we've talked about those questions as well, and you've already received Christ. You've already asked him in your heart, but we're making it official this morning. So do you repent of your sin? And do you want to receive Jesus in your heart as your Lord and your Savior? Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith? Amen. Let's do it. If you'll sit right there, hold your nose, me and Dad are going to take you under. Lily Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Y'all gather up in here and put a hand on the shoulder or wherever you can reach. All right. Lord, we thank you for Lily Kate. We thank you for the gift of your son Jesus to her. We're glad, God. We're just so thankful she has said yes. And we rejoice with the heavenly host, God. We rejoice that she has said yes to you. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. God, may she grow up into the young lady that you have created her to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Go and tell someone that you are created in the image of God. Amen.